Blog Talk Radio.
So you just keep silent, and he'll be on soon, and I'll put him on.
Right. Now, if he doesn't come, when he does come on,
what, Adrian?
Well, if he's not on, he'll come. Okay, so I just started the show.
So you start the show after the music begins.
Right.
If he's not on, I'll talk to him.
And,
so the show's on now, and they can hear everything.
I'm on line one if
okay,
you want
good.
Me to be on line
don't
two.
Hang up. Don't hang up. Don't do anything. And he is on, so you can talk to him right now. Hang on, right now. You can talk to him, Ed.
Andy, are you there?
Yeah. Hi, Adrian. How are you?
I am good. I'm watching the clock very carefully. At just a few minutes, 2:06, the show actually opens. Right now, there would be commercials normally. And as I told you, we're recording this. It's going to be a recorded show. And usually we have a guest on for only half an hour. But I wanted to have you on longer because we also want to create a podcast, a separate podcast out of this. So I didn't
okay.
know how long you had. How long do you have?
You told me an hour, so I've got an hour.
Yeah, perfect. Then that's excellent. Now, these days, how would you like me to introduce you?
However you like. I don't know how you
normally
introduce people, but...
You're a leading entrepreneur in the field of aging, the creator of... Caring.com, and now working with Bankrate Monitor to get the word out on a lot of things of importance to boomers and older adults. That's what I'd like to say.
That sounds great. That sounds much better than I would have come up with.
Okay. Very good. And then we're going to be speaking about this issue of estate planning and wills for quite a while. I have a lot of questions for you. And after that, if we can, I'd love to talk about your experience with people who are caregivers, you know, through the website and whatever speaking you do and that sort of thing. Is that okay?
Sure.
Right. Okay. Because we're doing this just as if it were live, there's usually commercials you hear in different times, but instead you'll have dead air. But you and I will be able to talk during that time to set up the next segment of the show. Okay.
Okay.
And right now, we have like about 2 minutes, so I will be quiet, and you won't hear anything. Then you'll hear some music, my introduction of the show, and then my introduction of you and the topic.
Okay.
And then I'll say, thank you for being with us, and you'll say, oh, it's so nice, and we'll keep going, okay? So now I am quiet for 120 seconds.
when I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles.
I don't see wrinkles. I see successful aging.
When I look in the mirror, I see hair.
Sometimes, you know, even women, and we deal with it all the time, don't always see hair. But this is Generation Bold. This is the fountain of truth about aging. We have the ageist police. We make sure that those of you who are in the media, and beware, and create ads, entertainment, movies, get called out if you are ageist in your images and in your messages. We also bring information essential to all of us as baby boomers, as mature adults, and, of course, as family caregivers of every age. And one of the things that we know about is, sure, we need to make wills. Sure, we need to make trusts. I mean, you hear it all the time. Right now, most Americans know what a living will is. We call it pull the plug. We live through all of those great sensational cases. The issue of when does death come and who's allowed to say. But you know what? We still don't have the documents we need, and it's really a puzzlement. I'm going to introduce my guest today in a very particular way. It might even surprise him. Many years ago during Perestroika, I was speaking with a Russian gentleman who was an investor, and I asked him what he thought the reason that communism didn't hold was at that time and why there was such a change. And he surprised me by saying, oh, inheritance rights. We don't have any inheritance rights. And so no matter how hard we work, we can never pass it over to the next generation. So he actually blamed the lack of having a will or a trust or the issue of inheritance on an entire collapse of an economic and political system. Whether he was right or wrong, he believed it. And I suspect that there was an element of this going on. It is very difficult to take the time of your life to build some wealth when you know it will disappear when you do. And there is an element of immortality when it comes to generational wealth. And yet, no matter how much we bang our heads against the wall, and those of you who know me, I'm Adrienne Berg. I've been hosting Generation Bold for some time now. I started as a trust and estates attorney. So I know since the flood, practically, that we have been trying to get people to take advantage of the documents that did not exist for other people in this world, and we still don't do it. And oddly enough, it doesn't change. But I don't know if there's hope. But I do know that our guest will tell you exactly what to do, why you should do it, and maybe make me more hopeful as well. He's a famous guy, by the way. His name is Andy Cohen, and he has been one of the leading entrepreneurs in the field of aging. He was the creator of caring.com, which became a mega website for people like myself and many other people in this country, millions actually, that care for an older adult or a younger person. If you don't know, the average age is about 46 and working of caregivers, and they need a lot of help. And Andy tapped into that. Now he's working with Bankrate, who's taken over the site and really trying to bring some sense into this 78 million person population, that it's very important to protect your assets through the generations. I don't know if we can do it. If anybody can do it, it's probably Andy, because he's one of the great message givers of the world. Andy, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me on the show.
All right. So I was surprised that, I mean, this is something that you're taking some leadership in, and it's still with us. What's the real situation? What's the truth about what is available to us as boomers, and are we really taking advantage of it when we talk about estate planning, wills, trusts, et cetera?
Well, unfortunately, no, Adrienne. We just did a survey on caring.com and found that only half of the people who are visiting the site and responded to our survey, only half of their parents had any kind of estate documents in place, wills or living trusts. And then even the ones whose parents had put those documents together, again, only half knew where they were. So if you've got estate documents but no one knows where they are, then they're not very helpful. So it was really a wake-up call for us, and why we're appreciating the opportunity to get the word out that most Americans don't have these end-of-life documents in place. And as we know from the visitors to caring.com, if you don't have these documents, you leave a real mess for your heirs.
So let's talk a little bit more about that. First, let's take a look at it from the point of view of the family. What's the impact on the family? What have you been hearing that really happens in real life when somebody passes away without any kind of estate document or during their life when health decisions have to be made?
So caring.com is a website for people who are caring for aging parents, as you mentioned, and each month we get about 3 million visitors to the site. So we hear a lot of stories from our visitors on the problems they have. And the biggest problem is for the person who passes on themselves. You, deciding where their assets go is one of the more important decisions they'll make on their lives, in their lives, whether they want their assets to go to their kids or to a favorite charity. Or there was just a couple that passed away in Seattle and decided to leave their money to the U.S. government because they had been World War II survivors from Germany, and they wanted to give it to the U.S. Wherever you want to give it, if you don't put your wishes down in writing in a legal document, then someone else will decide for you. And in the U.S., it's the probate courts. So if you don't make a decision on where your assets go, someone else will decide for you. And most people don't want the government or the courts to make decisions for them. They want to have the ability to make their own decisions. So that's the biggest problem, is if you don't put these down, someone will make those decisions for you.
The second problem is it leaves a greater impact, but you said that this couple that left their money to the United States government, if you don't make a will or a trust, you're also going to leave your money to the United States government, because part of making those documents is doing your tax planning, and people forget about that as well. So I just want to put a plug in for the fact is that you're going to lose money. Not only will somebody else make a decision for you, but even if you have your documents titled in a particular way where it goes to the right people, you're going to go be giving a gift to Uncle Sam that's pretty hefty. Go ahead, Andy.
Well,
that's the second issue.
The other thing, the second issue is that people don't title their assets correctly, as you just pointed out. And there's something in the U.S. called probate. So even if you've gone to the trouble to put a will together and say, okay, I want my house to go here, my cash and artwork to go here, my jewelry to go there, if you don't title those assets in something called a living trust, then they're subject to the probate courts. And the probate courts, what they'll do is review the will and certify the will before they'll release the assets. So typically assets are frozen before they go into probate. Probate can take anywhere from 9 months to 2 years. It can cost tens of thousands of dollars depending on the size of the estate. And that's something that also you want to avoid if possible, is having your assets and your will subject to probate. And the way around that is people put the assets in something called a trust, a living trust, which allows them to control those assets as long as they're alive. But when they pass away, those assets pass to the trustee who's named in the will, and that way they can avoid probate. So it's not enough just to have a will. You also want to have your assets in a trust to avoid the cost and time of probate.
And so we're doing our tax planning, we're doing our probate avoidance planning, we're making sure that our loved ones know where the money is and it goes to the right people. You know, in the minute or two before our break, Andy, what's the psychology here? Why do people who care so much about their money and are the mature, who really save so and deprive themselves, why do they waste their money when it comes to retirement and estate planning? They really don't pay attention. What's the block?
Well, people don't want to face the end of life, and unfortunately everybody's going to have an end of life at some point. That's part of the human condition. But it's something that a lot of people just don't want to face, and they avoid, and they put off doing important things like preparing for it.
Yeah, I think that's really what it is. There's just such a huge, strong resistance and denial factor when this happens. Yeah, and, you know, we're going to come back in a couple of minutes. I do want to talk about the complexity, though. I think there's a lot of myths surrounding this, that it's too complicated. And the other part of it, Andy, I think, is that people think they don't have enough money. It is really true that trust in estates was originally for the wealthy. And that's just not the case anymore, and people don't realize it. And, you know, we've been talking about the older adult with a caregiver and their money at the time of their demise. When we come back, we also want to talk about healthcare proxies and living wills, wills that have to do with your healthcare while you're alive, not just your money at any time. And before we leave, you know, we always like to give you a little bit of tidbits here. This is Generation Bold of the Fountain of Truth about aging. You can get information and you can hear all of our past shows archived on our website, generationboldradio.com. There's also an Ask Adrian section so that you can send us your questions about health, wealth, housing, retirement, volunteering, and relationships after age 50. So we ask you, one thing.
That I'm full of it.
Enjoy
but
your
that
aging.
Bother
you don't believe
me? Not even
stick
a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, so we're in commercial break now, and we have about 4 minutes of commercial break.
Great. Good for you. That's a lot of commercials.
Yeah, no, we're good. We're in about 10 states, and we just picked up a station which is part of New Jersey. It's our first Northeast station, and it's starting in September or August. It will be in very affluent counties, actually, in the state of New Jersey. And we'll be doing that. Yeah, so that's cool.
So, Adrian, I just emailed you. You had asked for a picture and a bio, and I just sent that to you.
Good, because that'll go on our website, which we're also building,
great,
you know, as much as we can, all around the radio show. And we'll see. I just spoke to Kathy Greenlee today.
You did?
Yeah. She's going to be on the show. And more importantly, as I said to you, what I'm looking to do is try to promote it for as big a listenership as possible. And if we can get her to support it, it'll be a great thing. And then it could go from grant-oriented to self-sustaining. And we'll see what happens. So that's good. Now, on our next segment, which is in 2 minutes, we're going to go into the healthcare side of it all. Do you also deal with the issues of older adults not telling the caregiver where their money is, so there's a lot of secrecy involved?
You know, that's, I think, one of the challenges. And as I mentioned in the data, even folks that have wills and trusts often don't tell their kids where they are. So that did show up in our survey results.
And so we're going to take a look at that in the next segment. We're going to take a look at at the health material in the segment, and then we'll talk about the baby boomer and whether the baby boomer is any better than, you know, than their parents when it's coming to creating this. Maybe they are, but I think you probably have a comment on that. Okay, so I'm going to begin.
They're not, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, we'll find. Yeah, what a show.
They're not better. Yeah.
They're not better. Great, wonderful. So I'm going to wait. We will be done in... Oh, exactly. Well, under a minute, so I'm going to be quiet now. 90 seconds. Right, I got it.
may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate
for my age. This is a paper, and this is Generation Bold. This is your fountain of truth about aging. So, inappropriate for my age, let me give you a cute story that came out of Omaha. Mark Behrens turned 110 years old on May 16th, and he was asked the secret of his longevity, and he said, well, I drink a beer every day at 3 p.m. I don't take any other medication. Now, we all know that whole grains are terrific, but, you know, I'm not telling you to go out and buy a keg, but I have to tell you that this fellow, Mark Behrens, says, he is oblivious to his age. He doesn't even think about it, he says. And he says he guesses his beer drinking pays off. So who knows? Now, you know that we deal on our website with incredible photographs of people. We have about 50 centenarians there. But I actually like the pictures of people 50-plus just doing great things, everything from yoga stands in the middle of the ocean and to jumping out of planes, to being artistic, to doing welding and creating sculptures. So we ask you, you know, disprove the old ageism myths. Send us a photo. All you have to do is go to our homepage, generationboldradio.com. You'll see photo gallery, and some of those pictures are just stunning. Let's see how sexy you are. Send us some of your photos. Well, you know, from the issues of aging, and ageism come some strange byproducts. One of them is denial, denial of our aging, denial of our demise. And one of the things that we've been discussing with Andy Cohn, who is the creator of Caring.com, that just did a major study and survey of their followers, and there are millions of them, by the way, that go on to Caring.com. It's one of the mega websites associated with successful aging. And we have so many millions of caregivers that need help, and the website certainly does that for them. But his survey did not come up with a great result when he asked, are people who are caregivers able to know what their loved ones expect at their demise? Are their wills, are their trusts? We discovered that they are not. We're probably not surprised about it. But he also discovered that when they are there, many times the caregivers have no idea where to find the documents. So let's welcome Andy back and delve into that issue. Andy, what's going on with that?
Well, Caring.com is a website for people who are caring for aging parents, and we recently did a survey where we talked to people about their estate documents and their estate planning, and we found that of the minority whose parents had actually put together estate documents, over half didn't know where those documents were. And, Adrian, as you know, if you don't know where those documents are and you can't provide them when someone passes away, then it's as if you didn't have those documents.
Andy, I just want to make one comment here. It's worse than that. If you have a document and you don't know where it is and you distribute the estate and that document shows up and somebody else should have gotten the money, what a mess in your family, in your money, in your relations, and in your legal costs. Wow. So this is bad.
Yep.
Have you ever been able to psych out why people don't say where the document is?
No. I think, you know, it's, again, it's people don't want to face end of life, and they probably don't want to think about it, and so they avoid the topic. And even if they've done a good job of planning for it, they don't want to talk to their kids about it. So just a big, big problem that I think as America ages, hopefully more and more people will get over.
Yeah, I'm going to make one pitch to all of us baby boomers out there. Also, make sure your kids listen to you. If you do have it and you do want to tell them, I know my kids, Andy, they tune out. I have a big folder with all my insurance. It's like, blah, 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 blah. They put their hands over their ears. It's not easy to get them to pay any attention. I'm thinking I'm just going to put it in a book and hand them the book. What do you think of that?
I think that's a great idea, and I would hand it to more than one person. You know, some people don't want to reveal the details, so the other thing we recommend is if they're nervous about the details, put it in a sealed envelope and say, don't open this unless something happens to me, and that way they have it, but they're not. You can avoid any fear you might have that they're going to be unhappy with what it contains. But putting it in a sealed envelope, they'll at least have it.
Yeah. Now, we also talked about other documents. We've been talking about the resistance to this because of the fear of dying, frankly. And this is the fountain of truth. This is Generation Bowl, the fountain of truth, so we have to be honest with ourselves. However, there are other documents that I think are just as important, like the healthcare proxies, the living wills, that tell people what to do in the event that you have Alzheimer's or dementia, stroke, whether you can recover or not if you're in rehab. What are you finding? Do caregivers have any of those documents?
Very few do, unfortunately, Adrienne. And these are very important if you want a say in how you're cared for. Some people would want every kind of life support system available. Some people do not want to be hooked up to a feeding tube or a ventilator, and they would rather die peacefully at home. And so, but if you don't put those wishes down or you don't appoint someone as your healthcare power of attorney, then the hospitals will decide for you, and they'll make every technology available to you. And so if you don't say, no, I don't want life support, you will be put on life support.
So in other words, you're saying that the default position here, if you do nothing, is kind of aggressive treatment, and a lot of people don't want that.
And a lot of people don't want that. They don't want to be hooked up to machines. If it's time, they would rather be home with their families and die peacefully in their own home. And unfortunately, the doctors can't make that decision for you. You've got to make your own decision there.
Yeah, and
you've
got
to put it in writing in something called a medical power of attorney.
Yeah, you can have your hospice request there so that you stay home. You can have a home retooled to be able to stay home or to age in place. There's so many things we can do now, but, you know, I want to ask this. We're thinking of perhaps people in their 80s and 90s, but what's happening with the boomers? Are they doing any better? Are they getting their documents done and letting their kids know about it?
Unfortunately, no. The survey data showed that it was just as bad for the boomers and the millennials as well. Another thing on healthcare directives that people often overlook, Adrienne, if you're a parent with adult children and they're over 18, you should get them to appoint you as their power of attorney. If you have a child who's away at college or gets in a car accident, even though you're their parent, you can't make decisions on their behalf unless you have a medical power of attorney. So a lot of folks, even if they have it for themselves and their aging parents, they don't have it for their kids. And they'll show up in an emergency room and their kid's admitted and they're not able to tell the doctors what kind of care they want for their children because they don't have a medical attorney, power of attorney, and the child's over 18.
Yeah. Now, you know, when we return, I want to continue this very important conversation. I've lived through all kinds of cajoling and incentives to make Americans realize how important this is. Maybe the fact of tax loss will take over. However, when we come back, I want to talk about the fact that when you do this, many people fear the legal cost. They think it's too complicated. They think they don't have enough money. So there are other reasons that people resist doing this other than just their denial. And maybe if we can discuss that, Andy, we can crack through some of that. This is worth doing. This is Generation Bowl. This is your host, Adrienne Burke. This is the truth. It's not the truth.
And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da.
So this really rushes by, right?
It sure does. I can't. I just looked. It's 11:30 already. I can't believe it.
I know. It's just amazing, right? So anyway, we come back again. Let me see here. At in your case, 11:30.
Pacific.
Yeah, Pacific. Right, 11:35 Pacific. 11:35:10 Pacific. Okay. With the music again. And so I want to talk about some of those other reasons. Is there anything else in your survey specifically with the questions?
No, we didn't really get into the reasons.
Right. Right. So so we can just do that, you know, in an informal way when it comes to that. And what are
Great.
You what are you suggesting then for the caregiver? In there's a book you probably know it, How to Say It to Seniors. It's a book
Yes, wonderful book.
Wonderful book. I think it's David Soli.
Yep.
And I did a dog and pony show for Merrill Lynch, Global Wealth, for people with over $5 million. And it was shocking how few of them had a will. I mean, it was just shocking. And my part of it was more the technical, legal, and motivational part. And his part was how to go to your older parent and say it to them. So we can talk a little bit about that. But I do want to get a bit into who's the caregiver in America today. I mean, you certainly know that profile, and I think it'll surprise people. And
great.
Some of the things that the website provides for the caregiver. Is that okay?
Yep.
Yeah, because I want to cater to that part of our audience. I think they need more help than anybody else.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so we will be quiet now. We have 3 minutes, and then we will start again, okay? That's good. That's fine. Start with that.
Inappropriate.
What, Mom?
Why is it so hilarious when grandmas do anything other than watch Matlock? Every Adam Sandler movie has some grandma doing something young people do, and apparently it's the funniest thing ever.
What's
you
your
know,
point?
You know, we are here.
What's
we
so funny?
We stated grandma and kids and grandkids and the whole intergenerational world. This is Generation Bold, and it is the fountain of truth about aging. This is Adrian Berg, your host. Let's talk about grandma for a minute. Get this one. Family members, there's two sides to this coin, provide $522 billion in unpaid care to their older loved ones, all right? And some surveys find that families spend more than $5,000 a year out of pocket on elder care. Now let's look at the flip side of that. Surveys also show that 62% of grandparents report they provide an average of $8,000 over a five-year period to their grandchildren, and they provide unpaid child care. 13% of grandparents regularly care for their grandchildren. So what does this mean from the point of view of our own practice, as we've been talking with Andy Cohen about this show, of not having trust and estates documents, not providing for the grandchildren that we are gift-giving to while we're alive, not providing the health care documents that we just spoke about before the break, because our family members, our caregivers, are spending their time and money and would like to know what we have in mind. Should we not be able to tell them directly? This is what's happening. During our life, we are giving and we're getting, but we are not making any provisions for what happens to our family and ourselves in documents that are really very easy to create. Now, I promised Andy Cohen, who is the creator of Caring.com, to talk for a few moments about his opinions, his thoughts, why people aren't doing this. And he had a survey that showed that we really aren't creating these documents. But, Andy, why do you think? Do you think people fear the legal costs as well as the fact they don't want to face it, or they think they don't have enough money to make these documents? What's your opinion on this?
Well, I think the main reason is people want to put this off. It's not a pleasant topic to think about. No one wants to think about the end of their life. So I think a lot of people avoid it. And then I do think there are a subset of people that think they don't need it and or it's going to be expensive. And I can't help the people that don't want to face the inevitable. We can encourage them. But in terms of it being cost or inappropriate, that's expensive or inappropriate, that's just not true. Anybody with any assets whatsoever, even if they're minimal, will want to avoid probate and make sure those assets can get passed easily to their heirs. And with the web and software today, it's very easy to put these documents together. You can use things like LegalZoom or Nolo Press to get software packages for $100 that put these things together. Attorneys offer these packages. They're very standard for several hundred dollars. So there's no, there's not a big cost to putting together legal documents, and it doesn't take long.
You know, one of the things I am interested in, of course, is the caregiver. I think that, except for you, they're really a forgotten demographic. And you know the caregiver cold, from catering to them, giving them the information they need on caring.com. What's the profile of the average, let's say, if there's such a thing, caregiver for the older adult?
Well, one of the surprising things is just how big a group it is, Adrian. It's a quiet group, but it's actually a huge group. So according to AARP, there's 43 million people in the U.S. caring for someone over 50. It tends to be women, two-thirds women, and it tends to be women in their 50s and 60s who are caring for parents who are in their 80s and 90s. So just when you think about how big a group that is, 43 million people, there's 2 million brides in the U.S., there's 4 million new babies born in the U.S. each year. So it's 10 times bigger than the number of moms. It's really one of the biggest groups out there. But caregivers tend to keep this very quiet, and they don't talk about it. So it's a group that doesn't realize how big it is.
You know, for yourself, how did you come up with that? You started Caring.com several years ago by identifying that market or that demographic, however you like to look at it. How did it come to you that this was so important and so needed?
Well, I experienced it firsthand, Adrian. It was 8 years ago when my parents got sick. My dad had had a stroke and passed away. My mom was living on her own, and then she got lung cancer, and my sister and I found ourselves in the role of adult family caregiver. And so we were trying to help my mom fight the cancer. She needed to get a nurse to help care for her because both of us were out of town. We had to find a hospital bed, navigate Medicare, figure out hospice, and all those decisions were very difficult, and I realized how hard it was for people. And so after my mom passed away, I decided to start Caring.com to try to make it easier for people like me, adult children who are caring for aging parents.
Now, through the years, you've had so many people, I think you said 3 million come visit the site. Within what period of time?
We get 3 million visitors a month to the site.
Every month. So you know what they're looking for. You know what they're reading, What's their biggest problem, or their biggest, the top one or two problems that you think they're looking for information on?
Well, many people are struggling with dementia care. That's one of the most difficult types of caregiving out there. So I would say over half the visitors to the site are dealing with some aspect of dementia care. And it could be, you know, when is it time to take away the car keys, to how do you navigate Medicare, to how do you put legal documents in place, to how do you just get through it yourself as a caregiver, because caring for someone with dementia is extremely difficult. It lasts from 5 to 10 years, and it's usually a full-time job for the caregiver of caring for someone with dementia. It's very difficult.
See, there's another testimonial as to why these documents are so necessary. Because I think, honestly, that the denial of death may come second to the denial that we will be around, but we will not be able to fend for ourselves. That, too, is a denial, and particularly when it becomes a cognitive issue as opposed to a physical issue. We can almost imagine the worst physically, but we cannot imagine the worst cognitively, and so we don't prepare for it. So, you know, it's all of a piece. Now, when they go to caring.com, let's give a little plug. What are some of the ways that you help them there? Because it is one of the only games in town for the caregivers.
Well, we have lots of resources, lots of articles to help figure out all aspects of senior care. We have experts. You can post a question, and an expert will answer it and email you the answer. We have online support groups, which are very popular with people who are stressed out and also so busy they don't have time to get emotional support, and the community helps support them. And then one of the most popular features on the site is our ratings and reviews of assisted living and memory care facilities. So if you need to find residential care for a loved one, you can come on Caring.com and find out which are the good places that you want to go visit and tour. And so those are just a few of the most popular features on the site.
So this is definitely something that began as a labor of love and something that you saw. You said something interesting. You said, my sister and I needed to help Mom. Now, that's another part. As an old elder law and trust estates lawyer, I've seen these documents that we were talking about, help a family, not fight. Sounds like you had a pretty good relationship, but siblings don't always agree, and sometimes it is the responsibility of the parent to create a document that says which one is the trustee, which one handles what, which one handles their health care decisions. Have you seen that as an issue? And I'm sure that you have something about that covered in caring.com.
Well, usually what we do see, my sister and I were unusual in that we were good equal partners on this. What typically happens is usually one child becomes the alpha caregiver, and they usually shoulder the burden of the work. And it's often a daughter who's nearby to Mom or Dad, and they're the ones that do most of the work. And the other siblings sometimes support that caregiver, sometimes don't. But it usually tends to be one sibling that steps up and does the majority of the work.
Yeah. And then, of course, those documents will confirm not to be suspicious. It's not happening because they're taking over the money. It's because Mom and Dad find it convenient and really want it to work that way. So we're going to take a little bit of a break again. I cannot believe how this is just running away with us. But more interesting news. You know, I'm not sure how I feel about this one, folks, but there was just a survey that shows that lifestyle, meaning your exercise and your food, is not the major thing that says to us, or drinking beer like our friend from Omaha, Nebraska, is not the major thing that allows us to live longer. Believe it or not, it is not even your genetics, but it may have more to do with where in the world you live, your culture, your connectivity with other people, and even your money. And yes, I know, the rich don't only get richer. They also live longer. So on this show in Generation Bold, please take a look at our blog. We have a lot of information, and our latest book has just come out, Beating the Fear Factor, 15 Minutes to Your Ideal Retirement,
you
and it really helps you harness your wealth
for
longevity purposes,
not, even a bit,
not just to buy
stuff. I am happy,
don't go away,
and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, Andy, we are in our last segment.
Okay.
Which is which absolutely runs away. So what we want to do now is, in terms of the website itself and tools on the website, is there some place that we can send them specifically if they got motivated to create the documents that they're supposed to create?
Well, we have the five. We have a great article on the five legal documents everyone should have that explains what those documents are. So that's where I would send people, is that five legal documents article.
Great. Okay, so that's very good. Now the other thing is, do you have another survey or something coming up, particularly?
Not particularly. No, we have done cost surveys, and we just did the legal document survey, but we don't have anything immediately scheduled.
Okay, I just want to I want to announce anything that is coming up that you know of for a particular article.
Oh well, thank you. Nothing immediate.
Okay, so that's fine. And then the next thing I do want to go ahead with is I want to talk a little bit about men versus women. You did mention that most are women. But I would like to discuss a bit about men taking over the helm and if that's changing or if that's staying the same, even though currently it's mostly women. But I just want to see if there's a change. Okay? And that's
great.
Going to be apropos of a little introduction that I'm going to give that has nothing to do with this. But you'll see. You'll see why it relates. Okay? All right. So
sure.
Now we're going to back at 3 minutes, in about 3 minutes. Okay?
Okay.
But actually, is there anything else that you would particularly like me to ask?
No. This is perfect.
Good.
It's going really well. Thank
great.
You. You're very good at this.
Great. I enjoy it, and you have a lot to say, so it's good. So less than 3 minutes, we'll be back.
Okay.
may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm
inappropriate. Now,
let's
be inappropriate for our age. You know, this is Generation Bold. I'm Amy Berg, your host. This is the Fountain of Truth About Age, and we do talk about how we look, how we feel, how we dress, issues of growing our hair, fixing our teeth, and everything else. I always say, from centenarians to sex, here we are. But I can't get over this. I got to talk to you about something, folks. And you're going to hear about this over and over again from me because it's really throwing me. This is a debate that Germaine Greer brought up. Now, if you don't know who Germaine Greer is, then you're not a baby boomer. She is somebody whose book, The Female Eunuch, I clutched in my arms while running to my exam to pass the bar in the 1970s, 1972. She was one of the first feminists. She flew out of England, and she was more important. That, was, to me, was the British invasion, was Germaine Greer. So Jane Fonda, who I also know and had the privilege of meeting at a gerontology conference in the NYU, and we spoke for a while. She was writing her book on growing older. Apparently, last week she said that because men like younger women, women should use Botox, have surgery, and try to look younger. So, of course, Germaine Greer went ballistic and said lots of nasty things about Jane, including how dare she change herself, even though men like younger women. And then she blamed the cosmetic industry and lots of other corporations and materialism. Okay, but so that's the big debate. Do you or don't you, right? To Botox or not to Botox? That is the question. But neither of them questioned the premise that men like younger women, that this was accepted. The only issue was what to do about it. Not whether it was true. Now, I'm going to do my own survey. I'm not so sure. How do you like that? So, I mean, for the cougars among us, this was not a good reaction. And while I'm not going to do an ageism police on this one, I am going to do an informal survey. So if you go to our website, generationboldradio.com, go to Ask Adrian, and just tell me what you think. Has that been your experience? I'm not talking about the tycoon of myth that has millions of dollars and he's looking for some trophy 20-year-old. I'm not looking for these crazy pedophiles. I'm looking at the average guy. Does he really want to be challenged by a 30-year-old? Does he really not want to talk to somebody who, when someone says Davy Crockett, she doesn't say King of the Wild Frontier automatically? I don't know about that. So right now we're going to go to a fellow who is an expert on a certain segment of the baby boomer, and that is the family caregiver. It's Andy Cohen. We've been speaking with him this hour. It's been my pleasure. Caring.com is his creation, and he's on a campaign now to get people to create those documents that protect their families while they're around and when they're not. So, Andy, can you just point out in your website, caring.com, where one might go if they want to read a little bit more about the documents they need?
Well, one of the most popular articles on caring.com is called The Five Legal Documents Everybody Needs, and it's in our finance section, and it really covers what we've been talking about here, Adrian. It covers wills and living trusts and medical and power of medical and legal powers of attorney, some of the key documents that everyone needs, and explains what they are and then links to some resources where you can go get them. So if you go to caring.com and look for five legal documents, you'll find that article.
Yep. And I'm going to relate this a little bit to my riff at the beginning here. You did say that most caregivers, family caregivers in your profile are still women. But we were just talking about men versus women, and this big, it's a fun controversy, but I think it's an important controversy as to what you do about your appearance, your looks, because men are different than women. First, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you think that across the board men are always looking at younger women?
I am not going to answer that. I'm about to have my 25th anniversary, and I don't think I should touch that question.
Oh, so you should say that men are not looking at any women. They're just looking right across the table, right, at their wife.
That's what I meant to say. That's what I meant to say, Adrian.
Excellent. All right. There's a guy who knows how to protect himself, I'll tell you that much. But talking about that, though, let's take a look at some of the things that we can delve into politically correct around here. And that is, are men taking over more than ever, or is that still, is it still falling upon the woman? Now, not in your case. You and your sister were handling this. So what's
yeah, a third of the caregivers are men, so a number of men are, and we haven't tracked it over time. But still, two-thirds are women, and they tend to be the daughters or often the daughters-in-law. It still tends to be women in this caregiving mode. And, you know, we're not caring.com is just looking at the data. We're not weighing in whether one's better or another, but that's what we see. It tends to be two-thirds of women are in the caregiving roles.
You know, you could say that there's a couple of different reasons for that. One, that perhaps women are earning less still today. That would be a Germaine Greer answer, that they can afford to take off more because they're actually losing less. Another is tradition, particularly in certain cultures where women who were the oldest child, the oldest daughter, or the daughter-in-law would be expected to take care. But in our modern world, it's still a little bit of a surprise that that's the case.
It is. Yeah. We are surprised, and I was surprised when I saw the data, because as a son, naturally I was drawn to that role. But it does argue that you're much better off having daughters. So, you know, there's some cultures that want sons over daughters, but with an aging population, I would go as far to say as you're much better off having daughters to care for you than sons.
You know, this is a huge governmental issue. It's a huge health issue. I'm just going to repeat here, $522 billion in unpaid care. That's what family caregivers spend on just their older loved ones that they care for. This doesn't have anything to do with caring for children or younger people who are disabled. This is a lot of money and a lot of care. Caring.com, very, very useful for the millions of you out there who find yourself in this position. So, Andy, thank you so much for being with us. This is wonderful.
Adrian, thanks for having me, and thanks for pointing people to caring.com. I will make the point that caring.com is a free website, and there's lots of great content on all aspects of senior care.
Yeah, and very much needed, and really one of the only games in town. So speaking of the only games in town, this has been Generation Bold, the fountain of truth about aging, one of the very few shows, I actually don't know any other one, that celebrate aging with you. Get out there, kids.
Adrian, you still there?
Yes, we are. We just—I just couldn't say anything for a couple of seconds because.
Oh, all right. Well, hey, thank you so much for having me on the show.
This was great, right? I just loved it.
You did a great job. Thank you.
So thank you. Go take care of stuff, and we'll keep in touch.
Sounds good. Have a good day.
Right. Bye.